And welcome again. It is Friday night. Again, y'all know what Friday night means. It's time for us to gather together for a message, and hopefully it speaks to you like sometimes it always does to me. And, you know, some of you have told me y'all been encouraged by past messages, and I'm glad that you are, you know, because I still prep for these things and prepare for like when everyone shows up. But like I said, our guys and another lady that was normally showing up, you know, I saw she accepted the request here. She's online, but I don't know, maybe she's having trouble trying to get in. Who knows? And the guys, I don't know. So anyway, we're going to get started here tonight. And when I preached the message last week, I started thinking about some other things, you know, about us being followers of Jesus Christ. And that's why I kind of used that song there, you know, are you willing to follow? And this is why I was thinking about that question. And that's why I started off this message tonight with the question, are you a follower of Jesus? Straightforward question, right? Well, when you ask, or how about this? Let me back up. When you are asked this question, what is your answer? If somebody on the street asked you, are you a follower of Jesus? What is your answer? Are you for real? Yeah, before y'all jumping at you, I'm throwing a little trick question at y'all too now. So, but the thing is, are you for real? Do you really live for him? Will you enter into his kingdom when you leave this place? When many of these questions are asked, people generally give a wide variety of answers. Many think that believing in God, attending church, participating in communion, giving to a good cause, helping people praying when in need, living a good life, or being religious means a true mark of a Christian. But is that so? Is that so? See, somebody being honest. So that's why I'm throwing these questions at you, because again, I heard many people make a claim to follow Jesus. I've seen many people do all these things, but yet sometimes when I see them doing all these things, their life is not showing it. To determine, this is why I kind of going in this direction with this message, to determine if we are truly following Jesus, we need to get to the core of what it means to be a true follower of Christ and to see if you are real or not. I think, wasn't that Ripley's Believe It or Not, Real, For Real or Not, or something like that? I think that's how it kind of went. I'm not sure. But because in our passage we're about to read tonight, if you are not real, pay attention to this, folks. If you are not real, then you will be hearing those fatal words spoken out of Jesus' mouth to you. And they will not be pretty. In fact, it will be devastating. Let us read. So we're reading, our reading scriptures for tonight is Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Matthew chapter 7, 21 to 23. And it says here, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And here's Jesus' reply. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, who practice lawlessness. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, O Lord Jesus, we stand before you tonight. Father, if there's anything within our hearts or our minds, or anything that we may have said or inadvertently allowed to come into our hearts before we came here to approach your throne or to come to you gracefully, please forgive us where we have fallen short of your precious glory. Father, I always come to you because I always want to keep myself in check, because I'm always asking, help me do things that's pleasing to you. Help me keep mindful of your things and the things of heaven. Be sure to show me what I need to do, and be sure to tell me what I need to do, and be sure to lead me what I need to do. I'm always asking this because, again, a lot of times I kind of have a tendency to slip a little bit, but I want you to keep me in check and keep my mind focused on you, and always keep asking myself, what if? And I do this a lot, Lord, you know, and I know you already know before I even say this in a prayer, that I'm always trying to be mindful of you, and I want to be pleasing to you and do the right thing by you. So I thank you again for forgiving me where I have fallen short. Father, I ask of you right now to bless those who are here tonight. They could have been elsewhere, but they decided to come here to give up a little bit of their time just to hear this message. They're not required to be here, but yet they show up to be here anyway. So again, I ask of you to watch over them, put a protective hedge around them, guard them from harm. Watch over them whenever they're journeying about throughout the day. Because again, we know what's going on in that world. I'm not saying the world's in bad shape, but sometimes the world is kind of a little bit chaos. So anoint them, bless them, watch over them, let them know that you love them. And we want to glorify you in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And folks, I titled this message tonight, as we just read those words, but I titled this message four words, I Never Knew You. Now, generally, we read that passage a lot, and generally, we see this, you know, and, you know, we kind of got the general idea what that means. We kind of have the understanding why Jesus told whoever it was he was telling that to. But see, folks, what I'm doing tonight, I want us to think. I want us to focus. Because, again, many people can go through their lives saying they are a follower of Jesus. But what would happen when it comes that day and they stand before Jesus and find out they are not? Scary thought, isn't it? So now let's ask the question again. Are you real? And do you serve Jesus? And before you rush to judgment and declare an immediate yes, before you say an immediate yes, just sit for a moment and really think about it. Are you a true blue, unashamed, unabashed follower of Christ? Or do you sometimes conveniently leave your faith at the door, depending on the circumstances? To understand the verse that we just read, we should always start with the contents. Always. Contents. And give you a little insight. You see, Jesus, he was just wrapping up his Sermon on the Mount with the final warning about true faith. And Jesus predicts that false Christian prophets will be coming as wolves in sheep's clothing. They may use all the right God talk and even make impressive displays of power, but they will not belong to the Lord. In Jesus' words on Judgment Day, we see several important truths. It's not a verbal claim that one follows Jesus that saves. Nominal Christianity cannot save. It's not a demonstration of spiritual insight or power that even saves, as we just saw in verse 22. A person can seem like a Christian in eyes of other people, yet still be an evildoer in God's sight, and sent away from his presence, as we saw in verse 23. Only those who do the Father's will and who are known of God will enter heaven. And when you give this some real thought, how sad and how awful would this be to stand before the Lord and hear Him tell you those words? That would be devastating. And at this particular point, folks, you cannot make it right. You can't make it right. And let's be sure, if you're not falling into this trap or the thought process or even thinking, yes, I am a Christian, only to find out on that day you're not. Let us look over several meanings of this and see if this applies to us so we can make this right before that day comes. And I had to think about this, and this is why I'm using this some insight, because again, when you are standing before your Lord and Savior, or we're going to be standing before Jesus, so let's just back up and say, hey, all of us is going to be standing before Him, those who made the claims to follow Him, and many is going to hear those dreadful words, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. That's another translation, but that's going to be devastating. I don't know if people's going to plead with Him or beg Him, Lord, oh, please don't. Lord, I did all these things. It's too late. We need to make sure now, while we're here, are we for real? Or are we just going through the motions? Or going with the flow? Or are we just pretending to be? Or are we just kind of acting to be? It's always best, as we was talking about the other night in the men's group, it's always best to examine your hearts. I like examining myself just to be sure. I kind of use it as checkpoints. Just to make sure I'm lining up according to His words. So let's look over several meanings, my friends, and see if this applies to us. So, as I said before, we need to see if this applies to us or not. And if it does, we need to make it right. The first thing we need to look at is words without deeds. The first thing that you and I should look at, words without deeds. Now, Jesus once said, well done. He did not say, well said, well planned, well thought, or well intended, but He said, well done. The emphasis is on doing in the kingdom of God. Of course, one must be something before he enters the kingdom of God. He must be born again. After one has been born into the kingdom of God, he is supposed to do something for God. James chapter 2, verse 20 says this, folks. That's why I'm saying, because see, when one is of God, he is supposed to be doing something for God. So this is where James tells us in chapter 2, verse 20. And listen to what he says. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? See, folks, what he is saying right here, we are not saved by good works. Many people think if I do good works, that saves. If I think I do good works, that gets me into heaven. If I do good works, I'm okay. I'm sorry, but works don't save you, folks. But, now let me emphasize on this. good works reveals that we have been saved. And what I'm trying to tell you right here in this particular point, if you are really true blue, born again, converted, baptized with the Holy Spirit, the fruits of your actions will produce good works. You understand what I'm saying? There's folks who go just do good works and think they got it made, but that's not how it works. When we are truly following Jesus, when we are living a surrendered life, when we are led by the Holy Spirit, our actions alone will produce good works. See, we are encouraged to be doers of the words and not hearers only. Horace Mann, I don't know if y'all know this guy, I had to look for some quotations, but Horace Mann once said this: I never heard anything about the resolutions of the apostles, but a great deal about their acts. Even George Washington was fond of saying, actions, not words, are the true characteristic marks of attachment of friends. There are two types that always seem to have misfortune: those who did it and never thought, and those who thought and never did it. In other words, when one is a Christian for real, he should do something about it. When one's a Christian, he should do something about it. Even during a bitter debate in his cabinet, President Abraham Lincoln, he stopped and he asked what seemed to be a foolish question. He asked this of his cabinet members. He says, how many legs would a sheep have if you say that the tail is a leg? Well, if you say that the tail is a leg, replied one of the cabinet members, then a sheep would have five legs. No, explained President Lincoln. Just to say that the tail is a leg does not make it so. And the same applies to us. To say that one is a Christian is not enough. We must do something about it. Because again, I run across many people who say, oh, I'm a Christian. Folks, I'm sorry, but the word Christian is nothing but a watered-down word used by a lot of people today. Movie stars, celebrities, casual people, reporters, some who want just to jump on that bandwagon. Many call themselves Christians, but they're not. That's just a watered-down word. Many can say, you know, I sit in Taco Bell all day long. Does that make you a taco? No. I sit in the garage all day long. Does that make you a car? No. The same applies for someone calling themselves a Christian. When someone asks me, hey, do you follow Jesus? And sometimes, you know, that's why I said, be careful how you ask or respond, because I look at it and say, yeah, I'm born again. And you know what happens when I say that? I'm born again. They kind of look at me, huh? What? They got the funny little look and the lip goes up. I look at them. I said, well, what's wrong? What do you mean born again? Excuse me? Now, you asking me if I'm a follower of Jesus, and you say that you are, and I'm telling you I'm born again, but you don't know what that means? Scary, isn't it? The second thing we need to look at tonight, folks, second point. The second thing we need to look at, which is leading up, that's why I said it's leading up to this, many are self-deceived. Many are self-deceived. And as James said in chapter 1, verse 22, he says this. Look at the scriptures when it's posted. He says in chapter 1, verse 22, he says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." See, folks, what happens here? Many have deceived themselves into thinking that they are Christians. How many church members are actually lost in their self-deception? How many? No one really knows. But one poll I read, and I think this came from the Billy Graham Foundation, one poll suggests that as high as 85% of church membership is probably unredeemed. 85%, folks, of church people is unredeemed. Wow. And when you look at the parable of the 10 virgins, well, here we go there. Our Lord indicated that exactly half of them were self-deceived in thinking that they were ready for the bridegroom. Half of them. That was just 10, and half of them were deceived that they were ready. How can this happen? How? Well, it's very simple. Some are self-deceived because they misunderstand salvation. Some surmise that since once saved, always saved, they can still go out and act like the devil. That's another debate right there, all the folks. But I still do believe in once saved, always saved. But let me emphasize, only if you have been truly converted by God Himself, baptized with the Holy Spirit, and have changed. Born again, for real, true blue. Because in chapter in Ephesians, it tells us you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Himself even says there is no one that can snatch us out of His hands. So folks, we don't have that power. We don't. No one does. So if you are truly born again, you are saved. But if you claim or say that so-called sinner's prayer, and I get this when I see people say that. Oh, did you say the sinner's prayer? And I kind of go and shudder and shock. Where is that biblically? Where is that in the Bible that you have to say the sinner's prayer to be saved? There's no such thing. Oh, I said the sinner's prayer 15 years ago, so I'm saved, but I'm okay, so I'll go and keep living like I want. No, you don't. A person who's been born again will be convicted, will be chastised, will be rebuked, will be disciplined. If you're submitting yourself to His Holy Spirit, but that's only if the heart has changed. That's only if they change. And sadly, my friends, those people are ignorant of the Bible teaching. Listen to what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Look what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Look at that word now. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Born again. Brand new. In other words, if you are truly born again, the evidence of God's Holy Spirit will be seen, and the fruits of his spirit will manifest itself in a converted person. The evidence will be there. Sadly, this is where many are self-deceived because they have misunderstood the place of good works in Christian life. You kind of hear them thinking about this, or you hear the thought process, or this is what some of them may be saying. I'm trying to do enough good works to balance out my sins. I heard that before already. Yeah, Jim. I'm trying to balance out my good works so that it balances out my sins. Really? Wow. And this was said by a well-meaning church member. I don't name names, but this was said by a well-meaning church member. Some people throw themselves into activities of their church to ease their conscience while they live in adultery or cheat in their business or even taxes or even cheat a friend. Some never darken the door of a church but come running to the pastor when their wives discovered their double lives. And many pastors that I have talked to have testified that the wayward men have joined their churches as somewhat of a concession to their wives. But when all things are hunky-dory and rosy at home, these men seldom darken the doors of the church. Folks, what happens? These self-deceived person fails to realize that what really counts is a relationship to Jesus Christ. It's a relationship. Listen to this story I found. California was leading Georgia Tech by a score of 7-6 in a Rose Bowl game. Roy Regals, a linebacker, grabbed a football and started running. The crowd in the stands stood to their feet and they were cheering. But Alice, he was running in the wrong direction. And when he crossed the wrong goal, it gave Georgia Tech 2 points and the victory in the game. It makes no difference how hard one is running in religious races. If Jesus Christ is not running with them, he or she is going in the wrong direction. When all is said and done, and these words haunt me, when all is said and done, the saddest words ever spoken to any human being will be the words of Jesus Christ when he says, I never knew you. I can't even fathom that right now. Hope we don't hear that. The third thing for tonight, the third point. The third thing we need to look at, folks, and you can't avoid it, there will be a day of reckoning. There will be a day of reckoning. It's coming. It's coming for all of us. We don't know when it's going to happen, but it will. And by the command of God, in accordance with scriptures, a day has been set when all people who have ever lived on earth are going to be brought before the law court of Christ and judged for the way each has lived their lives. And on that judgment day, Jesus will reveal why we have done what we have done. And we claim to do many things in Jesus' name, but the judgment will reveal our true motives. So when you see, depart from me, it indicates that the hypocrite will be eternally separated from God in hell. Eternally, or eternal, however you want to say it. They will be separated for all eternity from God in hell. And hell is described as a separation from the presence of the Lord. And in this day, every life will be judged. Books reflecting the judgment of actions and possibly rewards. And the Book of Life, which reflects the position towards God one has chosen. Reliance or defiance. There is no middle grounds, folks. It's either reliance or defiance. The division between the saints and the ungodly is irrevocable and final. No second chances. None. The ones whose names are recorded in the Book of Life are forever with the Lord. But those who have rejected him are forever cut off. It is a day of reckoning that accumulates with the lake of fire. This is the part of what is often spoken of as hell. Wow. And I was looking at this, okay, well, how do you get someone to understand this? And I found this interesting. Here's an article, and it was found way back in the latter part of 1967. Now, I was still a wee little tot back then, so I didn't know much, but I didn't know about this. But back in 1967, this thing called Mariner 5, that was launched in space, discovered that Venus is a hellhole with fiery storms raging in a metal melting atmosphere that is so dense that light itself cannot escape. You understand that? I mean, when light is in Venus, because the way that atmosphere is, the light cannot escape. And science says that Venus glows eerily and the light cannot escape from this planet. And they claim that even the temperature on the surface of Venus is 536 degrees. Now, with knowledge such as this about a distant planet, why is it so difficult to believe that there is such a place as hell? And that the worst thing about hell is not the fire, but the separation from God. Why is it so difficult to believe that, but you can believe what the scientist says? I don't get it. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Now, I thought about this hard. There are many people who makes claims or who says they follow Jesus. There are many who made a claim that they gave their life to him. Many makes the claims to serve him. But the real question is this: are you really for real, and are you sold out to him 100%? Are you? If so, you have nothing to worry about. If you're sold out to him 100%, you're following him with everything that you are, no matter what, you got nothing to worry about. But what if? What if you're not? Then the four saddest words that you can ever hear will be these. The first one, I. Listen, folks, the Son of God speaking right now. The second one is never. No relationship to Jesus Christ has ever existed. For there is no such thing as knowing him a while and then ceasing to know him. A third is new. You can know an awful lot about Jesus, but the important thing is for him to know you. And the fourth one is you. You. Salvation, my friends, is personal. Whether or not one has a personal encounter with Jesus Christ is what really matters in this life and in the life to come. Bottom line here, folks. Bottom line, there is a lot of horrible things that we could hear in our lifetime. Folks have heard bad things before, but I believe the absolute worst thing a person could ever hear would be these words, I never knew you. There will be many that think they're on their way to heaven. Oh, I got it made. I'm on my way to heaven. And then on judgment day, they will find out different. This day, it will be too late to find out, folks. It'll be too late. And if we aren't going to heaven, or if we're not going to heaven, then the time to find out is now, today. Not when you stand before God. Now is the day of your salvation. Today is the day to find out, are you for real? And each one of us here today will hear one or two things on judgment day. Oh yes, we will. The first, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Or the second, well done, good and faithful servant. Which one will it be? Which one will it be? And how do you know for sure? I think we take too much for granted and we assume we have it gone, or we have assumed we're gone to heaven with no problem. I got it made. Today, tonight, and anybody who's listening to this message right now, I know there's more out there listening to it when they go to that site. What I'm telling us, all of us who's listening right now, we need to examine ourselves. We need to make sure of where we are going. There's only two choices. That's it. Heaven or hell. Which path are you on? You decide. Which one will it be? Amen.